Hello, everyone. Welcome to Lead First, Lead Second, the podcast where our spiritual pursuit meets our leadership development. We believe the best leaders don't start with strategy, they start with surrender. When you're led by Christ first, you lead others with greater clarity, purpose, and impact. Every episode is designed to help you grow, not just in your leadership skills, but in your character, your convictions, and your calling. Today's episode, we're connecting with Eric Miller. Eric Miller has been leading Momentum Ministry Partners now for about 5 years and just has great insight from his pastoral background to the way that he interacts in his neighborhood, to the way that he's interacted with so many leaders when he was searching for answers. He's just a great leader that embodies what it means to be led by God. And you're not going to want to miss how he's able to bring some of his ministry heart to kind of the neighborhood, to the marketplace, to these places where we live our lives on the daily. And so I hope that what you hear from him is going to be helpful and inspiring. So let's go ahead and meet Eric. Let's get started. Eric, it is so good to be with you, man. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a fun spring so far, other than all the rain. Here in Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah. It's early June and I keep waiting for like one more snow. I think it's just Northeast Ohio weather. Yeah.
I think the snow's finally done, but it's funny. We had Rob Rojas from Philly in town not that long ago. And he was like, dude, every time I'm in Ohio, it's gloomy. And I know we have enough nice days that I don't personally always feel that. But then right after that, I saw a statistic that like, Cleveland and I forget which the other city is, but in Ohio is like ranked within the top 10 of the most gloomy days ever in the United States. I'm like, oh, cool. But
yeah,
here we are.
I like to say that people in Northeast Ohio have like amnesia because like every winter when you're digging your mailbox out of the snowbank, you know, the neighbor's like, it's never like this. And I'm like, we did this last year.
Yeah. See, I think I'm weird because I just don't mind the four seasons. And even with the rain, I'm like, right. And that's why we have so much green around here and all the rest. And I suppose it's the downside of living near the Great Lakes because it just picks up the water clouds and then dumps it right on top of us.
Yep.
So,
well, I'm ready. I got my shorts, flip-flops, and a hoodie, and that's dream weather for me. And yeah, if I could wear shorts, flip-flops, and a hoodie, I would be in heaven.
I'm with you.
All year
I'm
long. With you.
That's what we'll be wearing in heaven.
Yeah.
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 I'm pretty sure that's what's handed out as we all walk into heaven. It's like, here's your shorts, here's your hoodie.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
Well, Eric, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, I know a lot of your bio, but like, what's some of your background and how have you been involved in different kinds of leadership?
Oh, my. My background, I've always called myself like a Karis kid. I grew up in the Karis Fellowship. Before I even realized what that was or what Grace Churches are in that network. But I grew up in Winona Lake, Indiana, went to Grace College. I knew that I was going to go to Grace College as a 10th grade student because I went on this thing that was called then Operation Barnabas as part of the organization that I now lead. So that's foreshadow, awesome.
Right.
Full circle. I now work for Momentum and... it's just been amazing to get to see like how God led every step of my path. So the very short version is actually when I was in 10th grade, got cut from the high school baseball team. And that was a pivotal moment for me because it forced me. I went crying to my youth pastor and was like, my life is over and I'm ruined. And I was going to play third base for the Chicago Cubs. And he said, you weren't that good. The Cubs are that bad. Maybe you could have had a chance. But so he said, why don't you do this thing called Operation Barnabas for the summer? I did, went to Florida, got to travel around and developed there a heart for ministry. Mm-hmm. And kind of that was maybe the first time that I had the realization that God had wired me to lead. And so I thought, wow, I'm going to pursue youth ministry and going into full-time vocational ministry. Through my time at Grace College, I double majored in Bible and in youth ministry, minored in communication, and had all kinds of opportunities to lead in student ministry and teach at different local churches and worked with Youth for Christ and loved getting to have an impact in the same way that my youth pastor had on me.
Yeah.
So then I followed him to Maryland. He left right before I graduated high school and went to a church in Maryland. And so for my youth ministry major, I had to do an internship. So I followed him out to Maryland, did an internship with him together one summer while I was in college, and loved that, loved getting to learn from him several years later and see him in a different environment, and thought this was really cool. And then my senior year of college, he called and said, my dad's health is failing, and so we're going to leave Maryland and move to back to Florida to be closer to my dad, to spend whatever time left we have with him, and do you want my job? So I was able to go back to Maryland and ended up being the youth pastor there for almost 17 years.
Wow.
And then this guy named Jeff Bogue called. We'd played this game where every time he was looking for a youth pastor or a campus pastor, he would call me, and I kept asking, where's the church at? And he would say, Ohio. And I said, I don't want to live in Ohio. And then I would kept calling him to be our retreat speaker, and he said he only speaks at Momentum. And so we just had this little standoff, and finally he won when he took over Momentum. And he said, would you come run this? And in a lot of ways, it feels like running the family business, because it's kind of what I grew up in.
Yeah.
So a lot of the ministry experience and things that I learned were through the partnership of Momentum Ministry Partners and that organization. It wasn't always called that, but that organization has had a huge, profound impact in my life. And there were even times as a young youth pastor that I was like, no, we don't need to go to Momentum, and I'd look for other things, and we just kept coming back because it was the best.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of my very nutshell abbreviated version.
That's so fun. Momentum actually has a big role in me finding the Grace Church Network, too.
Nice.
So when I was a youth pastor, I was only a youth pastor for about 3 years, though, so
okay.
You had a lot of more tenure on that than I did. But right around that time is when Momentum switched its conference name, and they opened it up to churches that weren't a part of the fellowship.
Yes.
Well, my wife, who at the time we had been married, I think, for a year, she grew up going to that conference, and so she's like, let's take the youth group to Momentum.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, cool. I didn't know. I had never been to anything like that, so what? Sure, why not? I trust you. Let's go. Well, that's where I started to meet a lot of the folks now in our fellowship, and that was technically the second time I met Jeff, but it was a big part of how I got connected into the church here.
That's
and so,
awesome.
Yeah, Momentum has a big place in my heart for moving me around.
I'm not kidding. Everywhere I go, I hear those stories.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors, parents, volunteers, every as soon as I tell people who I am or what I do, they're like, oh my word, I got to tell you a story.
Yeah.
And even just last week, I was at this middle school camp, and one of the youth leaders was like, hey, I pray to receive Christ at Momentum, and it's why I'm volunteering with middle school students, and they're a key leader for their youth ministry and missional marketplace leader, but they're, you know, volunteering in their student ministry and taking vacation to go to middle school camp.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I love it.
It's you know, it's funny, if our listeners, if they've never been to that conference, and even if they've never volunteered or served in a student ministries, like, if you have a what's in it for me mindset, give yourself to a youth ministry for a year so that you can be a part of Momentum and
100%.
Go and just watch what God does. It's really, really cool.
Yeah. Or just come volunteer for the week.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll put you to work.
I love that. Yeah.
And it's not hard work.
Yeah.
It's door holding into the throne room of God. You get a glimpse of what he's doing in a front row seat, and it's epic.
Yeah. I would, it's funny, I'm borderline functionally banned from Momentum because so much of our church staff goes to Momentum that, like, someone has to still be here unless we shut the church down that week or something. Like, because all of our other teaching pastors, like our worship team, like so much, again, because we just love it and there's so much going on there. Now, Momentum is more than just this conference.
Yes.
Yeah. So now, some of our listeners might even not realize anything we've talked about yet, so they're kind of getting a little bit of an intro. But expand that a little bit for us. Like, what does Momentum Ministry Partners do? Momentum Partners now, right? Or something like that, some version of
Momentum Ministry Partners. Yeah. We haven't changed anything officially, but
And so, like, what do you guys do? In what ways do you guys serve and help people?
So partnership is obviously in our name because it's such a passion of ours. We want to be partners of the local church. And when you kind of break it down, there's two sides of a healthy local church. If you're going to plant a church, you need the ministry professional side, the paid full-time vocational leaders, mm-hmm. but you also need the missional marketplace leaders, the elders, the laity. And so when you look at the scope of that, we want to help stand in the gap and not only keep those pastors healthy, but to raise up and identify the next generation.
Sure.
All the Barna stats right now are talking about in the next 10 years, time is ticking on all this, but 85% of pastors will be of retirement age, and the Calvary is not coming.
Right.
There are not people looking to pursue going into full-time ministry. There are a lot of people who love Jesus that want to be involved, but there's very few people who are wanting to go into full-time ministry. And so that's kind of our goal, is we want to help bridge that gap and help partner with churches. Even for me, I realized that for a lot of pastors, there are a million resources for you when you blow up your marriage and your ministry, and there's very little for you if you're like, I'm healthy and I like my job.
Yeah, right.
And are there resources for me? And so there are some that you have to pay through the nose for. Sure. And so there's by size in comparison, fewer and less. Mm-hmm. So we kind of said, what if we use all of our ministries as a way to partner with local churches to both identify the future generation of leaders, but to help the current ministry professionals and the missional marketplace leaders to invest and disciple into those students and give them a pathway. So Momentum Youth Conference is a big part of that. Mm-hmm. We would kind of say that's the top of the funnel.
Okay.
For us, we want students to obviously know who Jesus is, have a right relationship with him. We give an invitation for students to receive salvation at Momentum. But we also give them a vision for what their life could look like to be a part of the local church,
yeah.
both now and forever. And so that means helping cast this vision for what's God's primary calling in your life is to follow him. Secondary calling is how do you serve him mm-hmm. through the gifts, abilities, your career. And so for some, that may be full-time vocational ministry. For others, that may be missional marketplace leadership. And so then we created pathways through that. Our urban centers, we have one in LA and one in Philadelphia, are kind of a part of that, of helping people learn how to share their faith mm. and make Jesus make sense to people in their community. And so we do that by pushing you way outside of your comfort zone
yeah.
in an urban center where you're going to learn some tools that you can, you're like, eh, if I can do it in Philadelphia, I can bring it home and do it in Akron.
Yeah.
If I can do it in LA, I can do it in Amish country or wherever you live.
Yep.
And so there's beauty in that and getting confidence in that and then getting to kind of come home and make a difference in your local community. So yeah. urban centers is kind of our next tier down from Momentum Youth Conference. And then we have a partnership with Grace College. There's an Akron satellite campus here that students can learn while they do ministry and graduate debt-free and have an opportunity to, I say, get dirt under your fingernails in terms of ministry in healthy local churches, and you're actually applying what you're learning in the classroom in the real world.
Yeah.
And then we have what we call Momentum Pro, which is our partnership with those ministry professionals. We have resources that are really written by ministry professionals for ministry professionals to help resource them to have maximum impact for God's kingdom. So some of that's coaching, some of that's cohorts, some of that's curriculum. There's kind of three different levels to that. Mm. And then the what we call Momentum Marketplace. And so oftentimes in churches, you see that students want, they're longing to be invested in by adults. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times church youth pastors are like, hey, we'd love for you to come volunteer in our student ministry, like you just gave a good plug. Mm-hmm. But they're like, what do we do? And the youth pastors are like, disciple them. And then they're like, well, what does that mean?
Yep.
So we kind of created a curriculum, and it's scalable. You can make it 8 weeks or 16 weeks or 4 weeks, but you can do this. There's a curriculum and a video series and workbook and fill in the blank. But to get you into Scripture, to learn how God's wired you and gifted you, but to connect you with an adult that loves Jesus, they're a part of the local church, they're serving and volunteering, they're pointing people to Christ, and they're getting to talk through, this is what my faith looks like in the workplace. This is how I live out what Christ means to me in my relationship with my teammates or in the workforce. And so it's a really cool program and a really cool opportunity to kind of identify and raise up those disciples of Jesus.
I love it. Yeah. What I love so much about all that marketplace stuff that you guys do is now that, you know, I've been a pastor for a little while now, and it's amazing how many folks that aren't vocationally in ministry assume they don't have that much to offer.
Yes.
And it's such a lie. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's rooted in insecurity or straight up spiritual warfare where the enemy is like, you have nothing to give.
Right.
But I would say maybe most of the impactful influence comes from people that aren't I think the professionals set up framework. I think they administrate a lot of what the church is doing. I think they're vision casters. I think there's certainly a role for them. But when you can relate it, you know, like cynically, I might be the paid salesman, but you in the marketplace, like you're the satisfied customer. And so they hear it differently from you.
Yeah.
And so that's huge. Like, what are some of the things that you've seen are so important for whether it's those marketplace leaders as they're investing in someone else or those students to pick up? Like, what are some of those really important things that they can grab a hold of?
Obviously, first, I guess, to answer the question, the students get to learn their spiritual gifts. They get to learn their passions and experiences. They get to learn, like, here's what this could project and look like in my life and in my career. And here's ways that I could use that to still love Jesus and be a part of my local church. But more so, here's how I could use those things in my career. And to not necessarily separate the two,
yes,
but to understand that, like, my faith is core to not only who I am, but to how God's created me and wired me. And so all work is worship. And so for those light bulbs to come on in those students' minds and realize, I don't have to work for a local church in order to be part of building God's kingdom. God can use me in ways where I can play to my strengths and I can still point people to Jesus, but I get to do it in a unique environment and in a different setting that's outside the walls of the church.
Sure.
So for some of those adult leaders, it's been fun to see the light bulbs come on where they're like, oh, I am doing that. I am making a difference.
Yeah.
Because they don't always realize it. And on the flip side, the thing that's been really fun is seeing local churches understand that, like, nobody's ever said this, but, like, by nature, you almost are like, we're creating second-class citizens in heaven of, like, well, you're not in full-time vocational ministry.
Right.
And I'm like, hold up. Like, it's two sides of the same coin.
Exactly.
It's heads and tails. Both are needed. Both add value. And so, like, just almost in how we even, Jeff and I realized even at Momentum Youth Conference, we were creating an environment where we were allowing students to almost feel like, well, if you don't go into full-time ministry, you're a lesser than Christian.
Right.
And no one, theologically, no one would say that.
No.
No one would say, like, nobody's going to stand up there and tell you that. But that's how it was almost playing out. Mm-hmm. And so we felt like we needed to kind of course correct and elevate both of those roles. And that's the beauty in what I think Momentum's doing and what God's using us to do. But the other side of that is helping local churches to even realize, no, we are still called to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, mm-hmm. not just hire a new staff member to do it.
It's so important. Like, and again, I mean, I think most of the important ministry is done by people that aren't paid, you know? And it's just such a big deal to be able to show up at work and be able to relate right away. I can't tell you how many times... I mean, it's not all the time, but I've had plenty of conversations where people discover that I'm a pastor and they change their tone and they change how they're talking to me. And they, sometimes it becomes like almost like a Catholic confession.
Yes.
And other times it becomes like very reserved or suddenly they're trying to polish the way that they talk. And I'm like, I'm not asking for any of that.
Yeah.
Like, I still am a normal guy. I just happen to do this. But it's really, really hard for people to keep that normalcy, if you will, about that relationship. So I love it when you can, like, throw all of that out the window and you're just talking to a coworker. You're just talking to a peer. You're just talking to a neighbor or a friend.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I try as long – I go to a local gym And I think it took me 4 to 6 months before I openly was like, yes, I'm a pastor. Yeah. Like,
because, like, wait, I've seen you somewhere. Yeah.
And thankfully for anybody that was there before that quote unquote public confession, they were like, oh, he's normal enough that they didn't all switch their tone.
Right.
But it just, it's a barrier. It's sometimes. Yes. Yeah. And so I love that we're, you guys in particular are just focusing so much on equipping folks in the quote unquote normal world.
Yes.
It's a big deal.
Yes. Yeah.
So what are some of the things that, I mean, you've probably hinted at a few of them already, but when you think about what really fuels your passion for all of this, like what gets you up in the morning? What gets you excited about this?
Mm-hmm. For me personally, it's having been a longtime pastor in a local church and having people that were outside of my team that I could vent, that I could call and like ask questions. That so Jeff was kind of always one of those people. I would pick up the phone and call him. I had other people locally, other youth pastors who were further along in ministry than I was, and there was a couple guys that, you know, I would like, hey, can I buy you tacos? And they knew it was like that season or that quarter of the year where like things are getting crazy, and I keep getting emails from the same mom and phone calls from this middle school girl that's having boy problems, and it's hard. It can be hard and challenging, and you're like, it's sometimes the extra grace required people that you don't know what to do with or how to lead, and you're like, college didn't prepare me for this, and maybe you didn't have the opportunities to invest in those ways, and so it's new, and so having somebody that you could bounce an idea off of, or how do I re-implement this strategy of small groups in our weekly gathering, or what does discipleship really look like, or I'm losing volunteers like crazy, and how do I loved getting to pick other people's brains that are not in my context and have a safe person that I could like really be honest and open with.
Yeah.
And so for me, if I can be that for other pastors, if I can be that sounding board or safe place or resource, or a connection to introduce somebody to, like, I might not have the answer in this regard, but I can connect you or I can help encourage you. Man, that makes my heart go pitter-patter. I love being able to do that.
I love that. I just, in a thread with some other leaders I'm in just this morning, someone had posted a video about, like, how every great man actually has a trail of failures behind them. And then someone posted about 1 Corinthians 11:1, which is imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Yeah.
And it was, we don't lead because we're perfect. We lead because who we're pursuing is worth it. And I just love what you're saying there, because I think too often we put leadership on a pedestal that, like, you know, other than maybe a receding hairline, they're probably almost as perfect as Jesus or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, it's not to say that every leader is, they have no integrity. I'm not saying that. It's just they're very flawed.
Yeah.
They still desperately need the grace and the work of Jesus. They're still being sanctified, cleansed, restored, and built up by Christ. And so to look at that person and assume they never have struggles at home, they never stumble into sin, that maybe even to a certain level, they never have habitual sin. Like, these things are lies, and they actually create a chasm between reality and expectation that when you discover that that's not true, usually it ends up blowing up that relationship as opposed to realizing and or assuming.
Yep.
No, like, as I look at you and I look even at our producer, Jason, it's like, none of us have it all together.
Right.
And that's actually the gospel.
Yes.
That's not blasphemy. It's the opposite. We need Jesus.
Yep.
So I love that you're setting up those conversations and environments for leaders. It's so, so important.
Yeah. Being the lead pastor or leading a ministry in a church especially, and being in wearing that full-time ministry hat is often lonely and isolating, and you feel like, you know, everybody in our church looks to me to have the answers, and you might not always have the answers. And so having other people that are in your corner who are a resource to you, who will encourage you, hey, keep going, let me pray for you, just a couple weeks ago, I had a senior pastor call me. And Joe, I've never been a senior pastor.
Sure.
But the senior pastor called me and he's like, hey, our elder team is blowing up. Mm. And I'm frustrated and discouraged. And he's like, would you just listen and pray for me?
Yeah.
I have no advice for him. I'm like, that sounds terrible. I'm sorry. But we spent an hour on the phone. I prayed for him. I checked in last week, sent him a text message, sent him a verse. And he's like, thank you. Like, to know that Momentum is in your corner, mm-hmm. to know that you have a sounding board,
yep.
a brother in arms who's just going to help encourage and support you. It's a big deal.
Yep.
It goes a long way.
Yeah, I've often, once it dawned on me what the word encourage really means, to give courage,
yeah.
I've just loved that concept. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the advice. I don't know exactly what you're going through. I can't begin to speculate all the nuances of what's happening with this guy's elder board.
Right.
But what I can do is work to give you courage.
Yeah.
To walk alongside Christ. He's got you. He knows what's going on. That's amazing. Yeah.
There's other things that we could step into, right? If there, I have youth pastors all the time, like, how do I develop a student leadership team? Mm-hmm. I'm like, this I can help you with.
Sure, yeah.
This I can, let me roll up my sleeves. But some of those things, like, even in that, like, mm-hmm. it's just these guys are like, oh, I have this idea, or I heard this at a conference, or I want to equip my students better. And I'm like, there's a ton of ways to do it. And so I think it's nuanced, but that's where the beauty of having somebody in your corner who can come alongside and help encourage and equip you. It's a big deal.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Eric, if someone approached you and just asked straight up, like, maybe they didn't even know the right question to ask, and so they just asked you something generic like, how can I be a better leader? Mm. What are the things that come to the top of your head, like, this is so important if you're stepping into leadership or trying to grow in leadership? Yeah.
A couple things. I always define being a leader as having influence. And so I actually, in my years of ministry, I would always tell our students, a lot of times students would be like, I'm not a leader. I'm like, yes, you are. Because you have influence, mm-hmm. even if it's over one person,
yeah.
even if it's over your siblings, even if it's over your family, like we all have influence, and to varying degrees. But if leadership is influence, then to look at the people who are right around you and think, am I leading them in a way that is encouraging and equipping and beneficial, or am I taking them away from... Am I detracting from their relationship with Christ or their relationship with others? If I'm gossiping, if I'm constantly complaining about things, if I'm bitter and discouraged and mm-hmm. frustrated, anxious, we could go on and on, right?
Yeah, right.
Then those things are not helping the people that I have influence over.
Yes.
It's actually weighing them down. But if I can figure out how, as you just said, to give them courage, to pray for them, to lift them up, to point things out, to help be a resource to them, to just pray for them. Now you're leading. Mm-hmm. Now you're adding value to that relationship. And so I think for us, as what the world would look at as leaders, to realize, like, it is what you make it. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of my favorite phrase that I think God helped me realize as a young adult and a youth pastor in my early 20s, being kind of on my own, was like, there was a phrase that was popular back in the early 2000s, like, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And to me, I always heard that, and I'm like, that's kind of ignorant. That's actually not true, because I can choose, I can decide what I want to make things. Mm. And so if I go to church on a Sunday morning, I'm like, it's the same guy preaching, I've heard him 1,000 times, or it's the same small group experience, and well, then you're probably not going to get a lot out of it. Mm-hmm. But if you go in with a mindset of expectation and I'm going to learn from this, or I'm going to influence somebody, I'm going to look for the person that's right around me and I'm going to try and encourage them. Well, that's leadership.
Yeah.
And that's looking for an opportunity to have an impact in God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so when I choose, it is what I make it, and I'm going to let God work through me, well, now my mindset is different. Now I'm not going to church on a Sunday morning bitter, discouraged. I'm not going to get anything out of it. I'm going to just update my fantasy football team while I'm sitting here. It's no, I'm going to engage with the living God and I'm going to get something out of this. Or I'm going to deliver this message even if nobody shows up for church today, because it's really for me anyways.
Yeah.
And so to communicate, to lead in those ways, whatever your seat is, whatever your role is, you have an impact. You can, and you have influence. And so trying to figure out, how do you identify who those people are that are looking to you, that you can encourage them, that you can influence, that you can lead? It may be your kids, mm-hmm. it may be your family, your wife, it may be the people in your team, in your marketplace, like in the workforce. But it also may be the church that you're leading. Mm-hmm. And so understanding you have influence, it might even be as simple as saying hello to somebody in the lobby.
Yeah.
When you make eye contact, if you're a pastor, they all know who you are, but you might not know who they are. Don't let that stop you from saying hello to them.
Right.
Or absolutely. Asking them questions. Hey, how are you doing? Even if you can't remember their name, ask. I'm so sorry. I'm forgetting your – how's your family? Just ask a question to engage in the conversation. It's so easy to smile and walk by, but to just engage them in conversation, that stuff goes a long way. It's influence.
That stuff happens, and it feels so small to the point sometimes of us talking ourselves out of it. But even last night, you and I were talking right before we started the podcast that I went and got ice cream last night with my wife.
Yeah.
And while we were at Scoops, shout out to Scoops in Barberton, while we were at Scoops, a family that goes to the church, they're like, is that Pastor Joe? And they said it loud enough to try to get my attention, I could tell. And so I turn around, sure enough, obviously I am that guy. But that same thing happened. Like, I could not remember their name off the top of my head. I knew I had met them before one other time. And they said as much. They were like, yeah, we met one other time. You probably don't remember us. And she's like, my name's Amy. And, you know, like, we kind of got acquainted and stuff. But, like, we ended up having a 5-minute, very encouraging conversation just about life real quick and ice cream and, you know, all the rest. But it's like, it made Mandy and I's visit more special.
Yes.
Based on their reaction, it would seem it made theirs a little bit more, was no longer just ice cream. Like, a little bit of life actually got woven into that evening.
Yes.
And it's like, but they could have just been quiet in the line and ordered their ice cream and went home. Nothing was wrong with that.
Yeah.
But when you influence, when you choose to say, no, I'm going to give courage, I'm going to step into these environments, like, a lot can happen in just a little interaction. And so I love how you're simplifying in the best of ways what leadership is. Like, you're just the one taking some initiative.
Yep.
Now, Eric, I think a lot of people almost like stepping into adulthood, they're just like, I just don't know what to do, what to say. I'm not that person yet. Yeah. I'm not worth being an influencer.
Right.
What are some ways in which you would give courage to someone with those kind of mindsets?
For sure. I think just even the scenario that you just gave of, you know, you're standing in line, get ice cream, and maybe let's say that person doesn't engage you. Maybe they don't say, oh, is that Pastor Joe?
Yeah.
And you look at them and you're like, they look familiar to me, but I don't know how I know them. They probably go to our church, or maybe we saw them in line last time we were
And Barberton's my hometown, so I'm like, do I remember them from high school? Like,
So in that scenario, I think just breaking the ice and like, be social, and even though you're out with your family, you're not on the clock, but like, you still are known. You, like you said earlier, like, people are still going to know who you are, and so just to smile and say hello to people,
right,
and ask, how are you guys doing tonight? You never know the response that you might get
for
from
people. That's so good, Eric.
So my wife and I, we realized we moved here about 5 years ago, and this is one of the things that we've tried to do, to be uber intentional in our neighborhood, right? We realized that everybody has garages and fenced-in backyards and really nice backyards, and everybody, like, pulls into their garage, and they go inside, and then they're inside, you know, and you don't see them.
Yep.
But they might be enjoying creation outside in their, you know, the 3 weeks that you're able to in Northeast Ohio, in their fenced-in backyard.
There's like five weeks. Fair. Come on.
So what we did is we bought rockers that go on the front porch, and we can pick them up and move them. We put them in our driveway. And I recently bought a solo stove. And so now we can have a bonfire in the front yard. And we've literally been moving the cars so that people can see us, and we set up in the driveway. We did this a couple weeks ago. And we text one neighbor that our daughters go to school together, and they're, you know, at the end of the block, and we said, hey, we're going to do a bonfire. We're going to cook some brats and hot dogs and come over. And so on a whim, we sent one text message. This family came over, and on the way, walking down to our house, they saw another family that they know through work, and they said, hey, we're going to the Miller's. Is it okay if we come over? Their kids ended up coming over. We told the kids, go get your parents. The kids brought back dad. Dad came over, sat and had a hot dog, enjoyed the fire. Joe, we sat out there for 6.5 hours that night, and we had 6 different families stop by.
That's great.
And sit around the fire. And so we put out camp chairs, and we got to know so many of our neighbors just by being present.
Yep.
Just by initiating with one person and saying, and our kids at the end of the night, it was 11:30 at night on a Friday. And our kids were like, can we do this all summer? I'm like, I would love that.
Yeah.
And so standing in line at the coffee shop, like, it's easy to just nowadays just to scroll through your phone and act like you're but like to look around and just say hello, a simple, how are you today? Rather than how's it going or the quip phrases that we use, but like to actually engage in conversation. And I get it. I know so many times I'm like, I'm not working right now. Our fear is that it's going to turn into a counseling session and it's going to be an awkward conversation or whatever. But more times than not, there is just life-giving things that come from that, from those conversations that open up.
That's really good, Eric. I feel like that's just stuff that anyone can do. And I do mean anyone. I have a few people in mind that are like extreme introverts. And even those personalities, like we're not, like you said, we're not talking about opening up a counseling session. We're not talking about, you know, you're in line at coffee and now you're inviting 15 people in the coffee shop over to the corner so you can lead them in a conversation.
Right.
Have the conversation once in a while. Do it with one person at a time.
Yep.
Like you don't have to be the life of the party. You're just a caring person. Because at the same time, most, even since we're talking about extreme introverts for a moment, they're some of the best conversationalists I've ever met.
Yes.
It's just getting over that hump of like, do you actually want to have a conversation or not?
And asking the question that engages allows that to happen.
Yeah. Or like look for the introvert.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, maybe you don't want to have, like, if you're an introvert, because I actually lean a little bit more introverted than people realize. You don't have to look at, like, that guy looks, you know, outgoing and popular. I'm going to talk to him. Like, no, look for the guy that looks like he's super quiet.
Yep.
Looks like he probably hasn't had, you know, like, and go say hi to him.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of pick and choose, but I just love the simplicity of what you're offering there in a really, really big way.
Yep.
What are some key resources that you would like point people to if they want to just keep diving into how to have these types of conversations or just this has been really, really helpful in your leadership? Like, where would you point people?
Yeah. I mean, to there's a couple of things that come to my mind. The first one, obviously, is the Carrie Newhoff Leadership Podcast, the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast.
Yes.
Both of those are phenomenal.
They are.
Led to Lead is a good podcast. I was laughing. I'm like, we could self-proclaim like the Momentum Ministry Partners podcast. Like, honestly, like if you want to learn in these areas, there are 1,001 things that you could find. Get on YouTube and search how to engage in conversation, how to influence others. Like, there's books that are written on these things. But I think, honestly, at the heart of it, is you've got to dive deeper into God's word and realize that he loves people, and do I love them the way that God loves them?
Yeah.
Am I willing to see people the way that he sees them? And if you aren't, if you can't go there, if you see people as an inconvenience rather than an opportunity, you're going to miss all of them.
Yeah.
You're not going to engage. If you are burnt out in your ministry, and you're like, every time you're not at the church or you're not leading in some way, you're avoiding people. you got to get healthy. you got to spend some time in prayer and with a safe place, and find the people who can invest in you and pour into you, because you've been pouring out into everybody else. So I think it's starting there. Another just tremendous resource that I really have come to love is honestly like going deeper into God's word. Mm. And I know I'm not breaking any news here, but I'm like, how do I set this up? Like, it's the best.
Yeah.
Like, I've been going through 2 Corinthians and just chapter 1 of like, we get to comfort those who need comfort in the same way that God himself comforted us.
Yes.
If that's not leadership, I don't know what it is. And so, like, looking at it from a fresh perspective, I understand, like, I'm speaking maybe to a lot of pastors. It's challenging. You often get into God's word to teach and to give it away to other people. But that is, it sounds so cliche, that is the best resource. Hmm. That really is. And so figuring out, I'm doing a Bible study right now with a group of guys. I just came from there this morning. And we're going through Matthew chapter 5. Mm. And I'm like, I literally taught on this last week at middle school camp on being salt and light. Mm-hmm. And we're like talking about Matthew chapter 5. And I'm like, really? And yet every time I learn something new and I see it from a different perspective. Or a guy in my group this morning was challenging me on something of my thought process. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't like that. Hang on, don't do that. And then, like, when I left, I'm like, no, I need that. Thank you. It's the iron sharpening iron.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we need those things that we're familiar with to continue to theme of the last few moments here to encourage us.
Yeah.
Like, we go to a restaurant, we tend to order the same favorite dish that we have there. We'll watch the same show that we love. We'll watch the same movie that we love. If we look at Christian experiences, like, I need something new, I need something fresh, something I never heard before,
right.
I think we're missing out on the depth and the richness of what God has to offer. And he will make it fresh. Because I actually just taught a little bit out of Matthew 5 last week, too. And there's just so much there in, that desire to connect with the heart of God through his word. It's the source code.
Yes.
It is the source of what we need for all of this. Yes. So that's excellent.
Yeah. Cutting edge resource. Mm-hmm. Scripture. God's word.
Well, you know, for some, that might be cutting edge. It's really, really good. Well, as we begin to wrap up here, is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners?
Mm. Honestly, I think just my kind of life verse or mission statement kind of is this, like, to passionately pursue Christ and point people to him. And so I always think of, like, it's the vertical relationship with the Lord, mm-hmm. and it's the horizontal relationship with other people. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm not pursuing Christ first and foremost, I have nothing to offer anybody.
Yeah.
If I'm not praying and diving deeper into the word, I'm going to miss opportunities. I'm going to not be a good leader. I'm going to not have the influence that I want to have. And so really for me kind of always goes back to that, like, how am I passionately pursuing the Lord, or am I? And there's seasons where you're like, I need to lick my wounds, mm-hmm. and, you know, things have been hard and challenging and whatever. But to keep fighting to get back to the Lord, how is my relationship with him first and foremost before I can go out and have an impact on other people? And
that's awesome.
You have to have the first, or you can't have the second, honestly.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, thanks, man, for coming in and sharing with us. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Like,
thanks for
I keep hearing
me.
About what you're up to and what you're doing, and, like, it's always in a positive light most of the time. Every once in a while, Bethany says, no, I'm just kidding. No, it's always in a great light. And like you said, you're actually influencing a lot of folks, both in leadership and those that are trying to figure out life. And so I hope that your words today are an encouragement to our listeners as they figure out how they can influence better, too. So thanks for coming out.
Thank you, Joe, for having me.
I hope that you're super encouraged by Eric. I love connecting with him. I don't think I've ever had a bad conversation with Eric, but I just, again, love his intentionality on how he's connecting with his neighbors, on how he's pouring into people right where they're at, and how he's trying to offer these environments for people to truly grow and thrive in their leadership. And then remember, depending upon who you are and the ways in which you lead, it really is just who do you have the opportunity to influence? I loved that simplicity, and I hope that that's an encouragement to you, especially if you were starting to doubt why or how or what good your efforts are doing. So even if you have to go back through and listen to this, but go spend some time with the Lord, go spend some time in prayer, and let's take advantage of those moments to connect with people. So remember, if you lead others well, if you want to do that, you've got to be led well. Stay faithful and following, and your leadership will follow. If you found today's episode helpful, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, share it with someone growing in their own leadership journey. And I can't wait to hang out with you next time. But until then, keep leading, but always follow first.